My dear Master, Lord Brahma is speaking. My dear Master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that just as a lamp does not seem to shine as brightly in sunlight as it does in the shade, or as a diamond does not seem as brilliant on a silver platter as it does on a plate of blue glass, the Lord's pastimes as Govinda do not seem as amazing in the transcendental abode of Vaikuntha as they do within the material realm of Maya. Lord Krishna comes to the earth and acts towards his pure devotees exactly like a devoted son, boyfriend, husband, father, friend, and so on. And within the darkness of material existence, these brilliant liberated pastimes give unlimited ecstasy to the surrendered devotees of the Lord. In his Krishna, it's purports by Prabhupada's disciples. In his Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada quotes Lord Brahma as follows. Lord Brahma said, I can also understand that your appearance as a small cowherd boy, a child of the cowherd men, is not at all a material activity. You are so much obliged by their affection that you are here to enthuse them with more loving service by your transcendental presence. Lord Brahma is explaining in this verse why the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, comes into this world. He says, My dear Prabhu, my master, Lord Krishna, you have nothing to do with material existence. You come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment for your surrendered devotees. So out of his causeless mercy, the Supreme Lord, he agrees to come to this material world. He comes to the material world to attract the conditioned souls, to attract the living entities back home, back to Godhead. And he also comes to the material world to show the people that his form, that he has a form, a transcendental form, that the absolute truth is not formless. Actually, the absolute truth is a transcendental person, Sachit Ananda Vigraha. So he comes for these two purposes. But primarily, as this verse explains, he comes to exchange rasa, or to taste the love of his bhaktas or devotees. He comes to engage in lila. But we see that his pastimes here are very, very sweet, very, very special. The analogy Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad uses in his commentary on this verse, he says that Krishna's lila, his Vaikuntha lila, the pastimes of Lord Narayan, the Lord Vishnu in the spiritual world, Goloka, Vaikuntha, they are very beautiful, very wonderful, and they are predominated by opulence, grandeur, majesty, power, omnipotence. It's explained, this conception where one appreciates God, or if one understands God as the all-powerful one, as the all-opulent one, that the Supreme Absolute Truth, he's full of opulence and full of power, that is considered to be knowledge of the God. There's a certain term for that. It's called Aishwarya Mahi Gyan. Aishwarya Mahi Gyan, like Mahi. Aishwarya Mahi Gyan means one's knowledge or understanding of God is filled with the idea that God is powerful and God is opulent. He's the most powerful, most opulent. And this type of Aishwarya Gyan, this Aishwarya Mayi Gyan, creates a great sense of respect, awe and reverence. A shanta, a mood of shanta ras. Shanta, great respect and reverence. And it also creates distance between the living entity or the worshipper and the object of worship. So this is Vaikuntha. So these pastimes of Vishnu and Narayana and Vaikuntha, Vishwanath Chakravarti says that they're wonderful, they're brilliant. Power is also brilliant. Opulence is also brilliant. Jewels and gold and diamonds are very brilliant and powerful. But he says that these pastimes of Narayana, Vaikunthanath, and Vaikuntha Loka, they are like a diamond put inside or set in a silver platter. You know, silver, like this is stainless steel. So you have silver, say you have a silver cup, and you put one hira. You put one hira inset here. You can hardly see it. It is not so much contrast. The silver cup is very shiny. The diamond is very shiny. Diamond hira is something like silver and shiny. But if this is a blue glass, if this is nila gilas, blue, and you put the white diamond there, the sparkling, it's very much contrast. The dark blue glass and the white of the shining of the diamond. So it's a great contrast. Very attractive. Very, very attractive. You see this principle in the business field. If you go into a jewelry store, when they display their jewelry and their rings, they usually put some velvet, red velvet, or blue velvet, something very attractive, that a nice background for the jewels and the rings and the watches, so they will stick out and it will catch your attention. They will attract you. You will become attracted. We're attracted to contrast, black and white, good and bad, happiness and distress. So Vishwanath says that Krishna's pastimes in the material world, when Krishna comes from Goloka Vrindavan, Braja Gokul, and descends into this world, into this Boma, and he brings his Boma Vrindavan, he manifests Vrindavan in this Bhumi, it becomes Boma Vrindavan, those pastimes, his human-like pastimes, they are characterized, this is called Madhurya Mahi Gyan, or Madhurya Mahi Gyan. These pastimes are characterized by beauty and sweet love. Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are characterized by beauty and sweet love. And Narayan, or Vishnu's pastimes in Vaikuntha, are characterized by power and opulence. And so that's why he says that when these pastimes, when the Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna, comes in the material world, they're like a diamond set in blue glass. When you compare Krishna Leela to Vishnu Leela, or this Braja Gokul Leela or Goloka Vrindavan Leela with the Leela of Vaikuntha. Much more attractive, much sweeter. In the Brahma Sutra, it explains, it says, Lokavat Leela Kaivalya. Lokavat Leela Kaivalya. That when Krishna, he displays his pure spiritual pastimes, Leela Kaivalya, Kaivalya Leela. When Krishna displays, he comes into this world and displays his pure spiritual pastimes, and he pretends to act like a person of this world. This is one shloka from a shastra called Brahma Sutra. Lokavat. In other words, he appears like a resident of the loka. He appears like a resident of this loka or this world. And that's why people criticize Krishna. He's a lusty boy. He steals, he lies, he takes other men's wives. He's very much like people of this world, isn't it? People in Delhi, they steal, they lie, they take other men's wives, right? It happens in the Delhi. So Krishna, he's a little better at it. He's a better thief. He goes in everybody's house and steals. And he's better at stealing wives because he steals thousands of them instead of one or two. So in this way, the envious, or the Pashandis, the Gnostics, they will find fault. But nevertheless, out of his causeless mercy, the Supreme Absolute Truth descends into this world to attract the living entities and to liberate us from bondage by showing us His sweet pastimes. As I mentioned in the beginning of the class, He comes to prove, Krishna comes to prove, Narayana or Vishnu, the Supreme Lord comes to prove, I am not formless. God, I am God, and I have a form, a transcendental form, Divya Kalevara, Satchidananda Vigraha. That's one reason why it comes. But the primary reason is to attract. In one place in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that the entire purpose for Krishna's coming into the material world is to attract the living entities to His sweet loving pastimes. Just see how merciful Krishna is. But in order for the conditioned souls to be attracted, in order for the conditioned souls to be actually fully and completely attracted to Krishna or to God, His pastimes have to meet two characteristics. First of all, His pastimes have to display the perfection of beauty. His pastimes must display such perfect and wonderful beauty that the hearts and minds of everyone will be attracted. This is one characteristic that if Krishna is coming with the idea that I want to attract the living entities, then He had better do these two things. One thing is, He must make His pastimes display the perfectional form of beauty. Krishna's pastimes must actually show the quintessence of Saundarya. The topmost essence of beauty must be displayed there in His pastimes. Now the second attribute that Krishna's pastimes must contain in order to attract the conditioned souls to Him is that His pastimes must appear very relevant. They must appear very relevant to the conditioned souls. They can relate to them. They can understand them. And they must be very interesting. Now, we have this term, boredom. Someone becomes bored. If you watch some movie and you're sitting there and over and over and over they do the same scene and the same scene. They dance and they sit down and you're watching, oh, they danced and they sat down. And then you're watching and then they stand up from the chair and then they dance and they sit down and they dance and they sit down. You say, what kind of movie is this? They're doing the same thing over and over and over again. What will you do? What will you do in that movie? You'll get bored. And then what will you do? You'll get up and go. You say, what kind of movie is this? So Krishna can't show a movie like that. His pastimes cannot be like that. So this is the second attribute His pastimes must have. They must be relevant and interesting to attract us. Krishna means attractive. So He's coming, and the main way He's trying to attract us is with His pastimes. That's why He brings the whole thing down here. Govardhan, Jamuna, Nandagram, Barsana. Bhogiraj Dharanaki Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam Banki Vihai Lala Ki Jai Radha Govinda Premananda Ki. Must be there. Very interesting. And can anybody challenge that Krishna's pastimes aren't very interesting? Dancing on the hoods of a cobra, lifting up a mountain with his finger? Huh? You know, splashing water with the gopis, throwing holy, ho, ho, holy, yay. So interesting. Very attractive. Lots of variety. This is Sri Krishna the Beautiful. Sri Krishna, reality the beautiful. As one godbrother of Prabhupada would say. Sri Krishna, reality. Sri Krishna, reality the beautiful. So the second part of that second attribute is that Krishna's pastimes must be relevant. If we see Krishna's pastimes and say, well, what does it have to do with me? What does it mean to me? It's not relevant to me. You understand this word relevant. It doesn't relate to me. It has no meaning to me. I can't relate to it. I mean, if two lizards are fighting each other, I can't really relate to that. There's not much for me to understand from that. But in Krishna's pastimes, like Ram Lila, as a Maryada avatar, we can very much relate to that. The tragic feelings of Sita Devi being separated from Ram and the intense surrender and love that Ram had for his wife, and how the feelings of protection and intense attachment he had as a chaste husband and a chaste wife, they set the ideal example. Sita Devi sets the ideal example of a chaste wife, perfect sati, perfect wife. So it's relevant. We can relate to Krishna and Ram Leela, especially Krishna Leela. We have our little children and they're crawling around and Krishna was crawling around. So this is the Lokavat Leela Kaivalya, that Krishna pretends. When Krishna displays his Kaivalya Leela, completely spiritual pastimes in this world, he pretends to act like an ordinary human being, simply to attract us, to captivate us, and totally enthrall us. It is beautiful, wonderful pastimes. Now, the Krishna form of Godhead, Swayam, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, Damodar, Madhav, he embodies these two principles, not power and opulence, but what makes Krishna, this sweetness of Krishna, that which overwhelms his bhaktas and overwhelms his devotees. So his devotees, the devotees of the Lord, they can only appreciate and only see the beauty of the Lord and his sweet love, his saundarya rupam and his madhurya prem, his beautiful sweet, his beautiful form and his sweet love. So when the devotee is having this understanding that I know Krishna, as Prabhupada once said in the Krishna book, he said the gopis of Vrindavan, they only knew Krishna as, they only knew this, Krishna is a beautiful boy. Krishna is a beautiful boy and he lives in our village and we love him. He's God, he's the creator, I don't know anything about that. Omnipotent, omniscient, I don't know. I only know he's the most beautiful boy in our village and I'm completely attracted and attached to him. So, this type of approach or understanding of God, this is called Madhurya Mahi Gyan. When one understands and appreciates the beauty of the Lord and the sweet love of the Lord. So this is what Krishna shows in his Vrindavan pastimes, which Brahma is commenting on here. Brahma, Lord Brahma, has eyewitness, he has personally seen the pastimes, the Sakyaras, the Leela, the cowherd boys and cows, and he stole the cows and boys. So he's saying, oh, my Lord, you come here to this world and you imitate material life. You come to earth and you imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment. So this is the kindness and mercy of the Lord, that he comes here and acts like one of us to attract us. And he understands very clearly what is the main binding force of this material world. Yan mai tanadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham. Mai tanadi. Yan mai tanadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham. That this maitun, this attraction between man and woman, beginning with this, mai tanadi grihamedi sukham hi tucham. This is, although it's insignificant to the self-realized soul, one who has realized of his spiritual identity, he has no taste or attraction for this man-woman dealing. Because he's relishing this bhakti ras, the taste of devotion and the mellow of surrender. But Krishna knows that the majority of people in this world, they are completely caught up in romantic affairs. Romantic affairs. The loving dealings between, so-called, loving dealings between man and woman. Knowing this, and knowing that this attraction between man and woman ties the hearts together, ties the man's heart to the woman's heart, like a tight rope. Granti ahu. Vidya grantam ahu. Explain. Pumsa sriyamatuni bhavametam tuyorat doretam vidya grantam ahu. The Bhagavatam says, Pum sastriya matuni bhavnetam, Vyo ridya grantam ahu. Ridya grantim ahu. Aho. Granti. Granti means not. Just like at the Vivaha Jagya, Vivaha Mahotsav, the man and woman are married, what happens? Ah, experienced man. But he's been working very hard. He's slowly untying. His knot is getting very loose now. His wife is worrying. The knot is becoming loose and his wife is going, oh, Hare Krishna. So in this wedding ceremony, the dhoti of the man is tied. Is it right? Over done. It's tied to the sari, right? The sari of the wife. It's tied in what they call granti, a granti, vivaha granti, the knot of marriage. But externally, this knot is going with two pieces of kapra, but internally, it's ridya granti. The Bhagavatam says, don't be fooled, don't think it's only two pieces of cloth being tied together. It's not a sari and a dhoti that are being tied together. It's one heart of one jiva being tied up in a knot with the heart of another jiva. That is called vivaha. Vivaha. So Krishna, knowing that this attraction will keep one bound in the material world forever, he mercifully came from the inner quarter, from the inner chamber of the spiritual world, the most confidential sector of the spiritual world, Braja Gokul,
Gaurakund.
He came outside from that most confidential region, most confidential and private region of the topmost the center of the lotus of the spiritual world, Radha and Krishna and all their Parishads, Yashoda, Nanda, Subal, Sridham, Rohinima, they came out of the center of the lotus and they came all the way down from the center of the spiritual world, Braja Gokul, to this material world. To display what? To display their transcendental romantic affairs. Krishna came out of his mercy to attract the living entities to his spiritual pastimes in Madhurya Ras. Krishna came to show this sweetness, this sweet love and unlimited beauty. And the Acharyas glorify Krishna. Although Narayan is Krishna and Vishnu is Krishna and Ram is Krishna, they are all Bhagavan, but Krishna is different. What is different about Krishna? What is special about Krishna? What is unique about Krishna? What is unique about Krishna is his beauty and his sweetness. And the devotees who worship God in that aspect are called Madhurya Mayi Bhaktas. The Acharyas explain there are four specific sweetnesses which distinguish Krishna and make him higher in one sense, or more complete. You could say more complete. Purnatara. There's Purna and Purnatam and Purnatara. Most complete. Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, is the most complete and perfect form of Godhead. More perfect and more complete than Ram and Vishnu and Narayan. Why? How? Because of this sweetness, this special beauty, and sweet love. So the Acharyas explain that Narayan has 60 qualities, Ram has 60 qualities of Godhead, Narayan, Vishnu, they all have these 60 qualities, Vishnu Tattva, the Paratattva, the absolute truth. But Krishna, he's also Vishnu Tattva, but Krishna has four qualities that Ram doesn't have, that Narayan doesn't have. So therefore, Krishna has 64 qualities. And those four qualities that elevate and establish Krishna as the Swayam Bhagavan are his Lila Madhurya. These four sweetnesses. One is his Lila Madhurya, the special sweetness of Krishna's Lila, his human-like Lila, his Lokavat, Lila Kaivalya. That is one quality. Special sweetness, which he attracts all kinds of Atmaramas and Munis. Atmaramas Chamunio. Admarams and Munis and Yogis and common people and Devatas, they all become attracted to the incredible sweetness of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So this is Lila Madhurya. Then the second quality is Krishna's Rupa Madhurya. His form is so attractive. Tribangalalitam Niyataprakasham Alola Chandrakala Sadvanamalyavamshi Ratnangadam Pranayakelikala Vilasham Shamam Tribangalalitam Niyataprakasham Govindamadi Purusham Namaham Bhajam. So attractive. This Shamsundar Roop, this Damodar Roop, he's so attractive that Lakshmi, she says, my dear husband, my dear Pati, my dear Lord Narayan, bye-bye. I am attracted to Krishna. Yes, Narayan is very beautiful. He's very attracted. But Lakshmi is leaving. Lakshmi leaves Vaikuntha to come to Vrindavan. Why? Because of attraction. Attraction to what? Attraction to the unlimited beauty of Shamsundar and the sweetness of his love. This is Rupa Madhurya. That form of Godhead which displays an all-attractive, sweet, relishable form which attracts everyone and everything in the universe. That is Rupa Madhurya, that is Sri Krishna. Prema Madhurya, there's Lila Madhurya and Rupa Madhurya. Now the next thing that Krishna, that distinguishes Krishna beyond Ram and Narayan, Vishnu. Vamshi Dari, Krishna Murari, Toma Bina Dukahari. Vamshi Dari, Krishna Murari, Toma Bina Dukahari. Atmo Jehi, Swami Bhaja. Right? This one bhajan. Veno Madhurya. The third quality is Veno Madhurya. Veno Madhurya, Vamshi Madhurya, Murali Madhurya. The sweetness. Krishna plays an all, he plays an all attractive flute. He doesn't play a chakra. He doesn't play a club. Right? Vishnu plays the club and the chakra. Is that nice? You want to listen? Is that sweet? The chakra and the club? Or how about the shankh? Ah, da. He also blows the conch shell. It's something nice, auspicious, mangalam, mangaladwani. It's mangaladwani, auspicious sound. But is it sweet? Does it capture your heart? Does it go deep into the core of your mind and just make your mind start dancing and make your heart start melting? But Veno Madhurya, Veno Madhav, you know, Veno Madhav, Krishna, he, this is the third special characteristic. And the fourth characteristic is Prema Madhurya. That his prema, the love that his devotees, that he shares with his devotees in the Dasya Ras, and the Sakiras, Vatsaliras, Madhuriras is so sweet. And he shares his love all over. You see, when Krishna was here, he was going everywhere giving his love to everyone. Even Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu was also Vishnu Tattva. But he was attracted to Krishna. He was attracted by the Rupa Madhurya of Krishna and Veno Madhurya. And he wanted to see Krishna eye to eye. So how did he do it? What did he do? He snatched the sons of a Brahmin. In Dwarka. I believe it. It's past times like that. There's different snatching going on. It's Sani Panimuni's son and this. But he arranged to steal the sons, to make the sons of a Brahmin disappear. And Arjuna said, if this happens again, I will go to Yamaraj and bring back these sons myself. This can't happen as long as Arjuna is here in Dwarka. Well, sure enough, that Brahmin's beloved wife gave birth to another child. And sure enough, that child died at birth and was taken away. And Arjuna was, uh-oh. So then Krishna said, I must protect my devotee. So the Krishna said, come on. So they got in the chariot and they drove. They went to Vaikuntha, to Shiradakshay Loka, to see Mahavishnu. They went to see Mahavishnu. And they say, hey, what's going on? Why you took the sons of this pious Brahmin? What's going on? He's not a sinful person. Why are the children dying? What's going on? He said, actually, they're all here. You can have them. But I did this because I didn't know. I was beside myself. I was so attracted to you that I wanted to have your darshan. Krishna, I wanted, but I can't, I have no adhikar. I can't enter into your dwarka lila. I'm Mahavishnu. You know, I'm full of Aishwarya, full of power and opulence and omnipotence. But this Braja Leela, this Dwarka Leela is not as sweet as Braja, but is also sweet. Some little dilution is there. Not so sweet. A little bit of Aishwarya, there's a little bit of Aishwarya. Aishwarya Gyan is mixed in with the Dwarka Leela and also in the Mathura Leela. But no mix. There's no mixture in Vrindavan Leela. It's Shuddha Ghee. Shuddha Gaika Ghee. Pure. Pure Madhurya Mayi. Leela. So this Leela from Bhagavad shows that even Mahavishnu is attracted to Rupa Madhurya, to Krishna. So Krishna's pastimes is prema, prema Madhurya, the sweetness of his pastimes. He's going all over, distributing. But Ram is not like this. When Sita went to the Valmiki's ashram with Lavan Kush, Ramachandra had to continue to perform yajna, swaha, swaha, because kings are always performing yajnas. But to perform yajna, your spouse, your queen, has to sit next to you. This is some injunction, some niyam. So Ramachandra was inquiring from his brahminical ministers what to do. Sita's in the Valmiki's ashram, and I only have ekpatni brata. I only have one wife, and I don't take another one. They said, no problem. What you do, you make a murti of Sita. Because the Archam Vigraha, the Swayam Rupam, or the Archa Vigraha, they're after proper Murti Pratishta and installation, it's also the same, basically the same. So we will make one Murti, one Archa Vigraha of Sita Devi, and she will sit next to you in the Jagya, and you do the Jagya. And after the Jagya, you put the Murti away. So like this, they did, they made one Sita Murti, and the Yagyas were going on. Swaha, swaha. And many yajnas are going on, so many Sita murtis were made, and they were kept in the godown. So one day, Ram was sitting peacefully in his palace, and then he heard some noise coming from the godown, the murti godown. What's that? So he went, and when he opened the door of the godown, all of these Sita murtis came marching out. And they started speaking. They're fully mobile and personified and alive. And he said, Oh Prabhu, we are your queens. And we have served you so nicely in your yajnas. But you know, we are your queens, and you are our Prabhu. And we have some feelings that we would like to render more service to you. We would like to serve you in a more intimate way. Please, will you fulfill our desire? But Ram could not. Ram could not fulfill the desires because his prema, there's some limits to his prema, how he can expand his prema and where his prema will expand to. But Krishna's prema, there's no limit. It will expand, and it can expand all the way from Mahavishnu Loka to everywhere. To Varuna Loka. He went into the waters of the Yamuna, expanded his prema over there. Or Varuna Dev. He went all over the place distributing, or you can say displaying, and expanding his prema in his Dwarka Leela. This is the prema, Madhurya of Krishna. But Ram, he folded his hands, he said, my dear devis, I have taken a vow. Ek Patni Vrata. I can only accept one wife. You are serving me in this yajna, but listen, your request should not go unfulfilled. In Dwapara Yuga, when I appear as Krishna, I will accept you as my consorts. And your desire will be fulfilled to serve me in that capacity. So, in this pastime, we see that the prema of Ram, when Sapurnaka came and wanted prema from Ram, wanted his love, did she get it? And, oh, But when Krishna went to Mathura, and the hunchback, Trivakra, Trivakra was bent at the neck, the chest, and the waist. Trivakra was also known as Kubja. She was bent over. She was young, but bent over. And she had a pretty face, Ruchirananam. Her face was very pretty. Often we see that. A lady has a pretty face, but an ugly body. I see it a lot in India. A very pretty face, a very fat type, you know. So she had a pretty face, Kubja, but she was hunchback. So, no husband. She was deformed. She was a deformed person. But she was engaged in the service of Kamsa to make chandan, chandan seva. But when Krishna went there and she offered her chandan, did Krishna say thank you? Krishna, she gave her love to Krishna. She gave her chandan. Giving prasad is also showing love. And Krishna, he gave his love to her. He touched her with his, put his thumbs under her chin and fingers and raised her chin and straightened her out and made her a beautiful girl. And later he met with her and accepted her intimate service. Her loving service. So Krishna, and it turns out that Supurnaka, I think, reappeared as Kubja. Is that correct? Supurnaka from Ram Lila appeared as Kubja. Is that correct? Yes. So we see that the prema, Ram's prema, there's some limit. It goes to certain people at certain times, but not to everyone. It has some limitation. But Krishna, Krishna's prema, prema madhurya, the sweetness of Krishna's prema, is anyone who gives him prema, he will give them. Even Shishupal here in this hallowed ground of Delhi, in Hastinapur, Shishupal was blaspheming Krishna 99 times due to some curse or whatever. The story is there. But Saraswati started dancing on the tongue of Shishupal and made him speak in such a way that his apparent vilification or blaspheme of Krishna was actually Mahatmyam. It was a Shishupal or the Krishna Mahatmyam. He was actually speaking the glories of Krishna. So, because the Acharyas, they analyzed each of the verses and he's saying, Krishna, you're Adama. You're Adam. You go down to the lowest place. You're from the lowest place. You have no varna, no ashram. You're the lowest, Adama. So now the Acharyas explain that Saraswati, each one of the verses that Shishupal spoke externally, I mean, the external meaning appears to be vilification or blasphemy. But the internal meaning is actually glorification. When you take this word Adama, Vishwanath explains what Shishupal was saying unknowingly, but it came out anyway. Saraswati tricked him. That's what he says. That Saraswati played with his tongue in such a way that he actually glorified. You are the one, Krishna, you are the one who drives or sends everyone else down to a low place. That is Adam. No Adam, no dam, no abode. It's explained. You send everyone. So that means you're the supreme. You're undefeatable. Anyone that comes, you know, it's not that you are in the lowest place. You're Adam. You're the lowest in the lowest place, no place. So like that. So in this way, Shishupal was also showing his prema. He was glorifying the Lord and showing his prema. So Krishna showed his prema to him. Krishna showed his love to Shishupal. He embraced him. He embraced Shishupal with his chakra. He felt the loving embrace of Krishna's chakra. And because that chakra is so brilliant, and that loving embrace was so effulgent, that's the only place, that's where his love ended up. Shishupal was merged in Brahman. That's love. He didn't annihilate him. He didn't send him to hell. He lovingly liberated him. So this, you can see that Krishna is very, very sweet, and his human-like pastimes are very attractive. But the most attractive pastimes of Krishna are his conjugal affairs with the gopis. Because this concept of romance, which I mentioned, or romance means the intimate affairs of men and women, the conjugal enjoyment of men and women, this concept of romance is very real in this world. But unfortunately, material romance, or romance between man and woman in this material world, comes, because of the influence of time, it ends in crushing disappointment. Material romance will bring crushing disappointment. And this disappointment is brought about by death and a change of heart. In material affairs, a man falls in love with a woman, a woman with a man. So it seems, in the beginning, material romance seems very beautiful and very enjoyable. Very beautiful and very enjoyable, the romance between man and woman. But the crushing influence of time will bring disappointment. The happiness will be replaced by disappointment. And the beauty, you see, in the beginning of the romance between man and woman, they're so much, you know, it's beautiful and it's enjoyable. But that beauty, that beautiful woman and that beautiful man, they become old. The crushing effect of time makes the most beautiful man, the most handsome man and beautiful woman, they become old. They become fat and ugly. Your beautiful movie queen, cinema star, husband and wife, they become fat and ugly. So where is the beauty? And where is the pleasure? Where is the enjoyment? Enjoyment is there when your senses are powerful. When you're driven by passion, and you possess powerful senses, you can extract so-called material pleasure from this body and bodies of others. With the effect of time, disappointment will come because the passion will diminish, be replaced by ignorance, and your powerful senses will weaken and wane. You will become old. You can't hear so well. You can't see so well. You can't smell very well. You can't taste anything. You have no power in your arms. So this is a tragedy, this material romance. But it's not that material romance should be rejected altogether. We actually have to see, what is the basis? What is the actual basis of romantic affairs? Where do romantic affairs, where do these loving dealings between man and woman come from? They come from the spiritual world. They come from Krishna, Radha and Krishna. They are in the spiritual world, they are engaged in purely spiritual affairs. Pure spiritual romantic loving affairs. When the pure romantic affairs of Radha and Krishna come into this material world and we imitate those, that becomes a perverted reflection. It's a perverted reflection. Because our loving affairs, our so-called romantic dealings in this material world, are full of envy and selfishness. Envy and selfishness. But if you examine the pure transcendental spiritual romantic affairs of Krishna and the gopis, you will see that they are completely selfless. There is no selfishness. And there is no envy. Sometimes a woman becomes so envious of her husband, she kills him. She kills him. Shoots him. Stabs him. Or the husband with the wife. Where did all the love go? Where is all the love? Because you cannot kill someone unless you're very envious of them. Because accelerated envy becomes hatred. And uncontrolled hatred causes all kinds of violence. So when you accelerate envy, it becomes hatred. When hatred is uncontrolled, it produces violence. And the violence can be of the worst type, including murder. There's so many stories. Love stories that end in death, isn't it? This is the subject of movies from time immemorial. Movies and plays. So Krishna's romantic affairs are not like that. They're completely pure and spiritual. So Krishna comes and shows those romantic affairs to us, to attract us. And if we hear about those loving affairs, if we hear about Krishna's romantic affairs, and we remember them, we become purified and liberated. We become purified and liberated. We become purified, free from lust, free from greed and envy, and free from all material contamination by hearing about Krishna and the gopis' beautiful, pure, transcendental romantic affairs in Vrindavan, which is his Lila Madhurya and Prema Madhurya. So we become purified and we become liberated. But if you hear about, or read about the romantic affairs of some lover of this world, some man or woman, then what happens? You don't become purified, you become putrefied. You don't become purified, you become putrefied. You become contaminated. You read illicit novels, or what we call in English, dirty books, dirty novels, or if you look at naked pictures, will your mind become purified by looking at naked pictures of man or woman? No way. Your mind will become full of dirt, the dirt of lust and the dirt of passion. You'll become very agitated. Your heart will start to burn with lust, calm. So you certainly will not become purified by exposing yourself to the romantic affairs of men and women of this world, either the pictures of their affairs or descriptions of their affairs. It will totally contaminate your mind and heart. What to speak of liberate? Will it liberate you? No way. It will bind you. It will lock you up. It will lock you up in the material world, birth after birth. So, just see the contrast between the transcendental, pure, spiritual romantic affairs of Krishna and our romantic affairs. So out of Krishna's causeless mercy, he has come here. And not just show, he didn't just come here and just dance around like a little boy. That's like the Gujaratis. Sometimes the Gujarati people, some of the worshippers, they say, I worship Gopal. He's nice. He's a little boy and we feed him. And he's very innocent. But this Krishna, this Murli Manohar, this Gopinath, we don't know. I don't think that that's actually God. That's some other person that maybe was there in Vrindavan. But Gopal, Krishna is a beautiful little boy, Gopal. So they cannot accept that God, that Gopal grows up. That Gopal grows up and becomes Govinda and Gopinath and Shama Sundar and Damodar and Madhav and Murli Manohar. And what does he do when he grows up? He doesn't even get married. He doesn't marry one girl. Although he's a prince. He's a son of a king. He's fabulously wealthy. He doesn't even marry one girl. But instead, he sneaks around the back door. He goes around to the back door of the palaces of all the different princes and kings in Vrindavan. And he plays his flute. And he attracts the hearts and minds and bodies of all the residents of Vrindavan to run to him and come to him and surrender to him. Especially the Brajagopis. So they can't accept that God can have romantic affairs? No. It's not possible. God can be a little boy, he can eat makkhan, and I can cook for him, and he can play with little toys and little animals. But dance with the gopis? No, and throw colors in the gopis and embrace them and kiss them? No. This is not God. But this is God. And this is the topmost example of his karuna, of his unlimited mercy that he condescended and agreed to come here. He could have just come as Gopal. He could have just come as Gopal and done extraordinary things and kept all of his romantic affairs private, confidential, X-rated. Never show anyone. Only keep them in the spiritual world. And maybe you'll find out when you get there. But no, he's so kind that he came to show these wonderful pastimes. Because that is the heart of the problem. We have this expression, let's get to the heart of the problem, right? When you're managing, you sit down with a group of devotees, okay, we have this problem. Now what's the heart of the problem? You say, well, the heart of the problem is, this one sannyasi comes from Vrindavan, gives these classes. That's the heart of the problem. No, so the heart of the problem means, what is the actual essence of why we're stuck in the material world? Why are we bound here? Why are we suffering here, life after life? The heart of the matter is attraction between man and woman. This maitun, Maitun Rag, this attraction for Maitun. So Krishna, he comes and says, be attracted here. See how sweet my pastimes are. So wonderful. If you read about them, if you hear about them, if you see them displayed on a dramatic stage, your mind and heart will become pure. You'll become free from lust. And it is lust which burns up the mind and heart of the living entity, life after life after life. And this very lust will be totally extinguished by remembering and hearing about Krishna's conjugal affairs. And the Ramananda Samvag and Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with the governor of Madras, who was a great devotee, his name was Ramananda Roy, he asked Ramananda Roy many questions, essential questions about life. So one question he asked, he said, what is the best topic? What is the best topic to hear about? What is the best topic and subject that one should hear about? And Ramananda Roy said to Lord Chaitanya, the best topic, the best subject that one should hear about is the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. And then Lord Chaitanya asked, well, what is the best song? We have so much radio and TV and everyone's singing songs, cinema songs and love songs and so many songs. So Lord Chaitanya said, he asked the question, what is the best type of song that we should sing about? We are singing a song. And Ramananda Roy said, the best type of song we should sing about is songs about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. We should sing songs about that. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Gopi Janavallabha, Jaya Giri Varadari. Like that. Bhajan, Radha Krishna Bhajan. So and then he asked about what subject should we read about? And then he said, what topic should we hear about? What should we always hear about? The subject we should read is Radha and Krishna's pastimes, we should sing. And Lord Chaitanya asked a third question. What should we always hear about? What should we always be hearing? Should we always be hearing the latest political developments or the latest economic developments, stock exchange? Or should we always be hearing about sports or hearing about our family matters, our relatives? Oh, did you hear? Our cousin so-and-so died in a motorcycle crash. Oh, that's too bad. This is family. This is called Gramya Katha. Gramya Katha. Village talk. Talk of the village. Oh, do you know so-and-so had a baby? Acha? Yeah, very big baby. 9 pounds. 4.5 kilos. Oh, baby. And then, did you hear so-and-so? Oh, really? Acha? So this is Gramya Katha. No benefit. No value. It will do nothing to promote the cause of the soul. Rather, it will demote the cause of the soul. It will drive the soul deeper into the body. It will drive the soul deeper into material contamination and material attachment. So the subject we should hear about, Ramananda Roy said, we should always hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. This is what we should always hear about. So, in this verse, Brahma is explaining how that Krishna has come and he comes to earth and imitates material life, lokavat, lila kaivalyam. He acts like an ordinary person, although he also acts very extraordinarily, lifting Govardhan Hill and swallowing forest fires, etc., dancing on Kaliya. Many, many extraordinary, inconceivable pastimes, achintya shakti. But nevertheless, the sweetness of his pastimes in Braja Gokul and Sri Vrindavan Dham is incomparable, super excellent. So let our minds go there. If our minds go there and our hearts become attracted, and they are interesting pastimes, and they are relevant, and they are attractive, and if we hear about them and speak about them and listen to those pastimes, we will be able to give up once and for all our attraction for romantic affairs between man and woman in this material world. This is the Mukhya Maya. Mukhya Maya. Mukhya means chief. Chief or main. The Mukhya Maya is man-woman dealings. Like once Prabhupada said, men are very nice. Men are very nice. Women are very nice. But men and women together are not nice. Men and women together keep each other in the material world. Men and women separated liberate each other. They liberate themselves. Because as soon as you let go of woman, as soon as you let go of man, then you can embrace Krishna. But as long as you want to embrace woman or embrace Lingata, Stri Lingata or Admi Lingata, as long as you want to embrace man or embrace woman, then you cannot fully embrace Krishna. And I've never seen anywhere in history where you can embrace two people at once. So we have to give up Maya to embrace Krishna. So Krishna has come to accept, Krishna has come into this world to accept our loving embrace. First we embrace Krishna with our mind. We become attracted and enchanted. Then we embrace Krishna with our words. And we begin to sing about Him and glorify Him by chanting His name in glory. So we embrace Him with our mind. And we become devotees. And then a devotee embraces Him with his words by speaking Harikatha and chanting His glories in the holy name, Jap and Kirtan. And then finally, we embrace Him face to face in our spiritual form. As Prabhupada says in one tape, He says, you can dance with Krishna, you can eat with Krishna, you can kiss Krishna, you can embrace Krishna. Krishna can become your beloved. Krishna can become your everything. Simply allow yourself to be attracted and try always to hear and speak about Krishna's wonderfully sweet Madhurya Leela in Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. So if there's any questions. Radha Chanana Das Ramachari. No. He's asking a question. We hear that the spiritual world is free from envy. But we've heard in the pastimes of Vrindavan, there's one Sakhi named Chandravali. She appears to be a rival or an opponent of Radharani. And if Krishna goes there, then Radharani appears to display some envy towards Chandravali. But actually, Radharani never displays any envy towards Chandravali. Chandravali, the word we say like envy, but the word cannot be used envy. Matsarya is not the word that is used. Radharani, there is no envy in the spiritual world. Srimati Chandravali is a sister of Radharani. The father of Chandravali is Chandrabanu. Understand? The father of Chandravali is Chandrabanu. Chandrabanu is the brother of Vrishabhanu. And Vrishabhanu is the father of Radharani. So then Chandravali and Radharani are sisters. At least cousins, but in India definitely they say sisters. So close. Chandravali's father is Radharani's uncle. And even they live together for some time. They're very, very close. Very, very close. Sometimes it's described that Chandravali is like Radharani is the Banu. She's Vrishabhanu Nandini. She's Vrishabhanu Nandini. Nandini means the daughter. And Banu means her father, Vrishabhanu. Vrishabhanu Nandini. Radhe, Radhe. Prema Kotai. Vrishabhanu Nandini. Kotai. Radhe, Radhe. So Vrishabhanu Nandini means the daughter of Vrishabhanu. But Banu means that Radharani is the sun. She represents the sun and Chandravali is the moon. They are two sides of the same coin. The sun is very nourishing and very satisfying, and also the moon is very nourishing and satisfying. So for Krishna, the moon is Chandravali. And for Krishna, the sun is Vrishabhanu Nandini. So for Krishna's seva and pleasure, they're both acting just like the sun and the moon act for our pleasure and seva in this world. So Radharani, because she knows that Krishna derives the greatest happiness and greatest pleasure from her service, that when Krishna is with Chandravali, she's not envious, she's simply thinking, why is it that Chandravali, somehow she captured Krishna? And of course she's serving him to her best capacity, but I know that she cannot please Krishna like I can. She cannot give Krishna the same happiness that I can, and therefore I'm a little upset because Krishna, not because I'm not envious because I'm missing something or you have something that I don't have. It's not an envy, she's just feeling that Krishna's missing out. If Krishna's, he got captured by Chandravali. Even there's a pastime when Krishna came late to meet Radharani in Nikunja Leela, and she stayed up the whole night waiting for him. And she had decorated herself so nicely and decorated the kunj. And then Krishna came in the morning at sunrise. And he had obvious signs of lovemaking on his body and mouth and face from being with Chandravali. And Radharani was very seemingly upset. And she said, where were you? What happened? And then Krishna was very sorry, apologetic and repentful. He said, actually, I was on my way here. I was walking in the forest. I was walking in the forest, going through the forest on my way here. And I heard these ankle bells. And the ankle bells, I heard these ankle bells, and I thought they were your ankle bells. They sounded exactly like your ankle bells, because maybe Chandravali and Radharani exchanged gifts or something. So I heard these ankle bells, and I became hypnotized. I became mesmerized by these, and I followed the sound of those ankle bells. And then before I knew it, I was in a kunj. I was in a nikunj with a sakhi. And that sakhi started serving me and pleasing me so nicely that, and offering arti, and I forgot, I thought that I forgot, I felt almost like I was, that I thought it was you that was worshipping me, I thought that it was you that was serving me. I didn't realize it. It was Chandravali. It is only when the Lita Sakhi came, and she threw a lotus flower into the kunj, and she had taken one petal of that lotus flower, Lita Sakhi took one petal, and she took some musk, she took some kasturi from her face, and she added some tears, because she was crying, because Lita Sakhi looked through the kunj, and she saw me with this other Sakhi. And she started crying, because she was thinking, oh, my Swamini, Radharani has been waiting all night, and this person is over here, this black person is over here with this other Sakhi. So she's crying, so with her tears and the cudgel, she wrote on that lotus petal, in that pallava, I think it's called pallava. She made some, with her kasturi, this musk, and her tears, she made a little paint. And she wrote on the lotus petal, Radhika is waiting. And he folded the petal, she folded the petal, and she threw it in the kunj and disappeared. And Krishna was just lying, and Chandravali was massaging his feet, same way that Radharani does. And he was, sometimes, usually Krishna massages Radharani's feet. But Chandravali's in a different mood. So he was thinking, yes, Radharani is rendering such nice service. And then this lotus flower landed next to Krishna. He felt something. What's this? So he took it and he smelled the flower. And as he was smelling the flower, he noticed on the edge of a petal, there was a beautiful pink lotus flower. On the edge of the petal, that lotus flower, there was some black, some Sanskrit. And meanwhile, Chandravali, she was totally absorbed in her charan seva, singing, and she was so happy, and she was so enjoying to be with Shamsundar. But then Krishna opened that petal of that lotus flower, and he looked, and he saw Radha is waiting. And he took that flower and he put it over his ear. And when he saw that, he came to external consciousness, because he was off in the praying samadhi, thinking all the time that he was with Radharani. Then he realized, oh my God. And he said, oh my. This is not Radharani at all. And look, the sun is coming up. Oh no. I'm in big trouble. So then he ran out of the kunj and then he went to meet with Radharani. So Radharani was not displaying, she never displays envy towards Chandravali. She's only thinking, I know that if somehow Chandravali catches, she somehow by trick or by some tricky means, if she catches Krishna and she serves him, that he'll never be as happy or be as satisfied as he will be if I can render service. But she doesn't feel envy. She's only thinking Krishna is missing out. Krishna is losing. He's not getting that happiness he really wants. He's missing because he's not with me. But that's how she's feeling some loss or some sadness. She's not feeling envy. And then she shows man and she enters into man. But man is not out of envy. She does not show this man or this kind of contrary mood to Krishna. It's not because of envy. It's because she wants to enhance Krishna's happiness and counteract any sadness that he may be feeling due to separation from Radharani. Anyway, this is a little bit gets in deep in these subjects. There's no envy in the spiritual world. Sometimes in English it's translated like that so someone understands, but this is not actually there's no type of this debilitating or this anger, envy that like we have in this world. I mean, envy, as I said, envy accelerates into hatred and becomes violence and even death.